Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
The FBI is offering a $100,000 reward for information leading to the identification and arrest of the person responsible for the murder of Charlie Kirk.
The manhunt for the killer of conservative activist Charlie Kirk has entered a third day. Officials have released photos and video of the suspected gunman who shot Kirk during an event at Utah Valley University. On Thursday, President Trump escalated his attacks on the left.
We have a great country. We have radical left lunatics out there, and we just have to beat the hell out of them.
We'll speak to Zateo's Mehdi Hassan about the killing of Charlie Kirk, as well as Israel's attack on Doha targeting Hamas leaders, then to Brazil.
I set the final sentence for the defendant, Jair Messias Bolsonaro, at 27 years and 3 months, being 24 years and 9 months of imprisonment and 2 years and 6 months of detention.
Brazil's Supreme Court has sentenced former President Jair Bolsonaro to 27 years in prison after being convicted of plotting a coup to remain in power after losing the 2022 election to President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. We'll get the latest. And we go to Nepal, where 51 people have been killed in youth-led anti-corruption protests.
Everything that has happened is not because of the social ban. We need a young leader now. We are looking for change. Time is up for these old leaders. We don't need them. We need the youth.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Palestinian officials say Israel's ongoing attacks on Gaza City have left more than 50,000 people displaced and without shelter, as Israeli bombs continue to fall on high-rise buildings, flattening the city's skyline. Medical sources say Israeli attacks have killed at least 42 Palestinians so far today, including 14 members of a single family, 3 generations wiped out in a single airstrike. Thousands continue to flee Gaza City after Israel ordered the forced displacement of its 1 million inhabitants. This is Abu Tarek Habub, whose family was forced to trek south along Gaza's coastline on foot.
I have nothing. My 10 children and I are walking in the street heading south. We don't know where we're going. We don't have mattresses or blankets. We don't even have money or anything. Maybe death would be better than what we're living through. I have children who slept in the street yesterday.
In the occupied West Bank, Israeli forces rounded up over 1,500 Palestinians in Tulkarm Thursday, ordering a curfew for the city's residents. Footage shared by residents showed Israeli soldiers marching Palestinians, including children, through the streets. Tulkarm's governor urged the UN to take action, saying Israeli forces were, quote, arbitrarily and unjustly, unquote, carrying out mass arrests, destroying property, and, quote, terrorizing children and women, unquote. The crackdown came as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu approved a plan to dramatically expand illegal West Bank settlements, greenlighting the construction of 3,400 new homes on land Palestinians want for a future state. The expansion into what Israel calls the E1 area would link occupied East Jerusalem to the large Ma'al Abdumen settlement, dividing the West Bank and further isolating Palestinian communities. Netanyahu spoke at a signing ceremony Thursday.
We said there would not be a Palestinian state, and we say again, there won't be a Palestinian state. This place is ours. We will take care of our country and our security and our heritage.
Qatar has held a funeral for five Palestinians and a Qatari security official killed in the Israeli attack targeting Hamas's diplomatic delegation in Doha Tuesday. Later today, Qatar's Prime Minister, Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdulrahman Al Thani, is set to meet with President Trump, Vice President J.D. Vance, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff to discuss the Israeli attack on Qatar. On Thursday, the United Nations Security Council condemned Israel's actions in a rare joint statement after the United States criticized Israel's unilateral bombing. Israel's UN ambassador, Danny Danon, remained defiant, saying Israel had targeted terrorists rather than legitimate politicians, diplomats, or representatives, he said.
Here in this council, some members chose to give Hamas legitimacy, even protection. Israel will not. We will act against the leaders of terror wherever they are hiding.
On Capitol Hill, Democratic Senators Chris Van Hollen and Jeff Merkley released a report Thursday accusing the Israeli government of collective punishment and ethnic cleansing in Gaza. The senators recently returned from a humanitarian fact-finding mission to the Rafah and Kerem Shalom border crossings in Gaza. They also visited the occupied West Bank and Jordan. This is Senator Van Hollen.
From our trip, from our observations, from our firsthand accounts, it's clear that the Netanyahu government has gone far beyond targeting Hamas to imposing collective punishment on all the people of Gaza. The title of our report is "The Netanyahu Government is Implementing a Plan to Ethnically Cleanse Gaza of Palestinians. America is complicit. The world must stop it."
President Trump has just announced on Fox News that the suspected gunman who shot the conservative activist Charlie Kirk, killing him, has been caught. Trump said, quote, "I think with a high degree of certainty we have him in custody," unquote. Trump's comments came a day after the FBI announced a $100,000 reward for information leading to an arrest. Officials released images showing someone appearing to be a college-age white man in a baseball cap, dark sunglasses, and a long-sleeved shirt with a U.S. flag and eagle printed on it. Investigators also released surveillance footage showing a suspect running across a rooftop and jumping over the edge before entering a wooded area. Utah's Republican Governor Spencer Cox vowed to catch Kirk's killer and said the state will seek the death penalty. On Thursday, Deputy Secretary of State Christopher Landau warned immigrants against, quote, praising, rationalizing, or making light of, unquote, Charlie Kirk's killing, writing on social media, quote, "Foreigners who glorify violence and hatred are not welcome visitors to our country," unquote. Charlie Kirk had a long history of demonizing immigrants and promoted the white supremacist conspiracy theory known as the Great Replacement, like these remarks in 2024.
"The Great Replacement strategy, which is well underway every single day on our southern border, is a strategy to replace white rural America with something different."
On Thursday, President Trump said he would honor Charlie Kirk with a posthumous Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor. Separately, Vice President J.D. Vance and his wife, Usha, met with Kirk's family in Salt Lake City and accompanied them, along with Kirk's casket, to their home in Arizona aboard Air Force Two. At least two members of Congress canceled events Thursday, citing security concerns in the wake of Charlie Kirk's murder. Republican Congressmember Nancy Mace and Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The New York Yankees tightened security ahead of a game with the Detroit Tigers last night, attended by President Trump, who watched through bulletproof glass. Trump was roundly booed. Several historically black colleges and universities canceled classes and ordered students to shelter in place Thursday after receiving threats in the wake of Charlie Kirk's murder. The affected schools are Alabama State University, Southern University in Louisiana, Clark Atlanta University and Spelman College in Georgia, Virginia State University and Hampton University in Virginia, and Bethune-Cookman University in Florida. In a statement, the Congressional Black Caucus called the threats, quote, a chilling reminder of the relentless racism and extremism that continues to target and terrorize black communities in this country, unquote. Brazil's Supreme Court has sentenced former President Jair Bolsonaro to 27 years and 3 months in prison for attempting a coup after losing the 2022 election. It's the first time a former Brazilian head of state has faced trial for trying to overthrow the government. Bolsonaro and his co-conspirators, who were also sentenced to prison, hatched a plan that would have used armed forces personnel to assassinate then-president-elect Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva and Supreme Court Justice Alexandre de Moraes. The court also detailed attempts by Bolsonaro to cast doubt on Brazil's electoral system, leading to the January 8th riots in 2023, when thousands of Bolsonaro supporters attacked government buildings. Here's Brazilian Supreme Court Justice Carmen Lucia explaining the verdict.
Fez prova cabal.
The prosecutor's office provided conclusive evidence that a group led by Jair Messias Bolsonaro, compromised of key figures from the government, the armed forces, and the intelligence services, implemented a progressive and systematic plan to attack democratic institutions with the aim of harming the legitimate transfer of power in the 2022 elections.
President Trump said he was very unhappy with the verdict and called Bolsonaro a, quote, outstanding man. Secretary of State Marco Rubio posted on social media, quote, the United States will respond accordingly to this witch hunt, unquote. In July, President Trump imposed 50% tariffs on Brazil and sanctioned the Brazilian Supreme Court Justice Alexandre de Moraes, citing Bolsonaro's prosecution. After headlines, we'll speak with Maria Luisa Mendonça, the director of the Network for Social Justice and Human Rights in Brazil. In Michigan, 15 Republicans who tried to falsely certify President Trump as the winner of the 2020 election in the state will no longer face trial after a judge dismissed their criminal charges. District Court Judge Kristen D. Simmons said, quote, I believe they were executing their constitutional right to seek redress. Simmons' ruling cast the group as simply following orders from more senior leaders like Rudy Giuliani and Kenneth Chesebro, who were not on trial. After the 2020 election, Republican activists in seven states tried to produce false electoral college certificates claiming Trump had won in their state. Senate Republicans voted Thursday to invoke the so-called nuclear option to speed confirmation of nearly 150 of President Trump's nominees awaiting floor votes. The change to Senate rules will allow the confirmation of multiple people at once by a simple majority rather than the usual 60 votes. A federal appeals court ruled Thursday in favor of the Trump administration, allowing it to block Medicaid funds to Planned Parenthood and its members. In a statement, Planned Parenthood said the cuts put 200 Planned Parenthood health clinics at risk of closure, with more than 1.1 million patients unable to use Medicaid to pay for reproductive health services. Planned Parenthood's president, Alexis McGill Johnson, said, quote, we'll continue to fight this unconstitutional law, even though this court has allowed it to impact patients, unquote. Meanwhile, in California, lawmakers have passed a bill allowing health care providers to omit the names of patients from abortion pill bottles in an effort to protect people in states with abortion bans. Labels could also omit the name of the patient, prescriber, and pharmacist. California is a hub for dispensing and shipping abortion medication nationwide. President Trump's calling Russia's drone incursion into Poland a mistake, while NATO members are calling it a deliberate provocation. France's President Emmanuel Macron said, quote, we will not yield to Russia's growing intimidation. Germany's Chancellor Friedrich Merz called Russia's actions a, quote, serious threat to Europe. This is Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk.
We don't think Russia is behind this provocation. We know it. I hope that none of our allies will pretend that nothing happened, because it did happen.
Several NATO members, including the Netherlands, the Czech Republic, Germany, and France, are sending troops, artillery, and air defense systems to NATO's eastern flank. And the government of Belarus freed 52 political prisoners to Lithuania on Thursday in a deal brokered by the Trump administration. Among those released were 14 foreign nationals, journalists and bloggers, opposition politicians, and leaders of mass protests in 2020 against Belarus's authoritarian President Alexander Lukashenko. Many of those released say they were starved and tortured. In return for their release, the United States is lifting sanctions on Belarus's national airline. The deal came after Trump envoy Keith Kellogg traveled to Minsk, where he presented the president, Lukashenko, with a pair of cufflinks and a letter from Trump that Kellogg described as a special sign of friendship. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Trump has just announced on Fox News that the suspected gunman who shot the conservative activist Charlie Kirk, killing him, has been caught. Trump said, quote, "I think with a high degree of certainty we have him in custody," unquote. Trump's comments came a day after the FBI announced a $100,000 reward for information leading to an arrest. Officials also released photos and video of the suspected gunman who shot Kirk during an outdoor event at Utah Valley University. A bolt-action rifle was also recovered in a wooded area near the campus. In one video, the suspected gunman is seen jumping from a roof on campus and running away. On Thursday, President Trump said he'll honor Charlie Kirk with a posthumous Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor. Trump also escalated his attacks on the political left, saying, quote, "We just have to beat the hell out of them."
We have a great country. We have radical left lunatics out there, and we just have to beat the hell out of them.
On the floor of the House, Republican Representative Bob Unger of Missouri described the political left as, quote, pure evil.
Well, everything has changed. If we didn't know it already, there is no longer any middle ground. Some on the American left are undoubtedly well-meaning people, but their ideology is pure evil. They hate the good, the truth, and the beautiful, and embrace the evil, the false, and the ugly.
This call comes as some lawmakers, including Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, are canceling or postponing public events out of safety concerns. To talk about all of this and more, we're joined by Mehdi Hasan, editor-in-chief and CEO of Zatteo, where his new piece is headlined, "Hypocritical Conservatives Are Using Charlie Kirk's Horrific Murder to Cynically Smear the Left." Mehdi, welcome back to Democracy Now! Why don't you lay out what you're seeing in these last few days as we talk about this breaking news that the suspected gunman has been caught?
Thanks, Amy, for having me. The problem with this administration, of course, is you can't trust anything they say. Kash Patel put out multiple statements over the last 48 hours suggesting that somebody's been caught, somebody's in custody. They leaked to the Wall Street Journal that there was trans ideology on the weapon and then walked it back. We have an administration of gaslighters and serial liars. So unfortunately, in the old days, even if a president lied, you could try and take the bureaucracy or the law enforcement people. Maybe sometimes that they were. Now you have to start from a position of pure skepticism. So I don't believe anything Trump says until I see more verification. I do hope they've caught the person. The problem is, Amy, that since from the moment Charlie Kirk was horrifically murdered on camera, a horrific act, inexcusable act on Wednesday in Utah, from the moment that happened, Republicans, conservatives, prominent figures in this country on the right went to work to blame this on the left, even though the killer was not in custody, apparently is now. Let's see the alleged killer. They had no killer in custody, no motive, and yet for the last 36, 48 hours, we've been told again and again that the left did this. The left killed Kirk. The left has blood on its hands. And I wrote that piece for Zatteo because I was deeply frustrated at what I was seeing. It's not just frustrating. It's dangerous, right? Your response to a political assassination, to political violence, cannot be to ratchet up more political violence, more dehumanization and demonization. And the reality is, of course, as I say, we don't know the motive of the killer. Let's say the killer turns out to be someone on the left. Even then, That doesn't mean the right is somehow scot-free here, and that's why I wrote my piece pointing out that the vast majority of right-wing political violence in this country comes from Trump supporters, comes from people on the far right, comes from all sorts of people who have horrific views about minorities and white supremacists. And I laid down the evidence in my piece, for example, this summer. Just a few weeks ago, I know the right wing has been erasing her killing, but Melissa Hortman, the Speaker Emerita of the Minnesota House, was murdered in her home with her husband. Another lawmaker was shot and almost killed with his partner. That was done by a Trump supporter this summer. Trump didn't even bother to show up at the funeral. No one mentions Melissa Hortman's death on the right when they're talking about political violence. We've erased January 6th. We've erased the attack on Josh Shapiro's home earlier this year. We've erased multiple attacks over the years that have been attributed to, or that the suspect turned out to be some kind of Trump supporter. And I think that is why I wrote that piece, because there's a real rewriting of history going on here. It's what far-right regimes do after, you know, tragedies like this. They try and weaponize them to go after their enemies. And Trump's made that very clear in all his statements, the radical left. This is a guy who has incited violence himself, including on January the 6th.
I wanted to turn to Hunter Kozak. He's the Utah Valley University student who posed a question to Charlie Kirk about gun violence just before Kirk was shot and killed.
5 is a lot, right? I'm going to give you some credit. Do you know how many mass shooters there have been in America over the last 10 years?
Counting or not counting gang violence?
Great.
On Thursday, that young man, he was 29 years old, Hunter Kozak, the Utah Valley University, I think he was a student, posted his message response to what happened after he asked the question.
And people have obviously pointed to the irony that the point that I was trying to make is how peaceful the left was right before he got shot. And that only makes sense if we stay peaceful. And as much as I disagree with Charlie Kirk, I'm on the record for how much I disagree with Charlie Kirk, but like, man, dude, he is still a human being. Have we forgotten that?
That's Hunter Kozak, who posed the question. He started by asking about how many trans mass shooters Charlie Kirk thought they were, and then talked about that percentage as a number of mass shooters in this country. But as he says, was horrified. As here is Charlie Kirk answering a question about gun violence, then is shot dead. Your response to this young man who's in a lot of pain, he said, in fact, though he disagrees with almost everything, is known for opposing Charlie Kirk himself, a TikToker. His wife just gave birth to their second child. He sees their families, you know, both of them having two children. And he said, but I'm absolutely against violence and for his freedom of expression.
Amy, we all are. I mean, 99% of people in this country, I hope, are against politically motivated murders. I mean, it's horrific. What happened to Charlie Kirk is horrific on a human level, on a political level, on multiple levels. And, you know, people are going around saying, well, you know, he didn't believe in empathy, so I don't care. Well, just the fact that he didn't believe in empathy is irrelevant. I believe in empathy. Most of us should believe, have empathy. And I do have empathy for his wife and kids. Two kids are going to grow up without their father. The fact that their father had vile political views that I disagree with, the fact that their father said I should be deported from the U.S. is irrelevant. All right. You don't kill people for their speech ever. And that young man gave a very eloquent statement there. The irony of him being killed after taking a question on gun violence and trying to make it about gangs. I mean, Amy, right now, everything in American politics just feels bizarre and ironic and unprecedented. You know, if you sat in a Netflix TV writer's room and said, hey, this is the script for a political drama about politics in the United States. And it was the script of the last 5 or 10 years. The TV writers would throw you out of the room and say, this is ridiculous. We can't make this TV show. This is so unrealistic. The plot twists, the turns. But that's our daily life right now. I mean, we're all going crazy seeing the, you know, what happens on a daily basis. You know, it's beyond anything we see on TV or in the movies these days. And I worry that everything's going to get worse. I was on the BBC just a couple nights back. And, you know, the question they asked was, is America going to come together after this? That's what other countries are wondering. That's what would happen in most normal countries after a tragedy like this. Unfortunately, the U.S. is not a normal country right now. And I suspect not only are we not going to come together, we're going to go further apart, because the president is someone who takes this opportunity to incite more. I mean, everything Donald Trump has said since this murder has been unhelpful at best, dangerous and destructive at worst. He is not the right leader whenever there's a tragedy, whenever there is a murder or a terrorist attack. That's always been one of my great criticisms of Trump. I have many, but he's not the right person to lead a nation when there is a tragedy or a crisis.
Manny, in 2023, Charlie Kirk called for you to be deported over your views on the COVID-19 pandemic while you were working at MSNBC. I just wanted to play a clip from the Charlie Kirk show.
So we need to reassert what the actual truth of the matter is, especially if we are to be prepared for the next pandemic when it inevitably comes.
Wow, who is that neurotic lunatic? Who is that guy? Send him back to the country he came from. Holy cow. Get him off TV. Revoke his visa.
So that was Charlie Kirk. And again, the horror of his murder right now. Your response then, Mehdi, and as you reflect on this now.
Yeah, I responded at the time pointing out how racist that statement was. Charlie Kirk was very anti-immigrant. He was very anti-Muslim. People forget this stuff. But again, you know, I've spent the last 48 hours condemning his killing. I found the post celebrating his death. Very few of them. I know the Republicans are trying to exaggerate. There are deaths. There are obviously posts online celebrating his death. I found them distasteful, inappropriate. It's not something I would do. And yet I think to myself, had I been the one shot in the neck and passing away, I wonder whether what Kirk would have said about me. This is the reality of where we live. I mean, we're in this weird situation, Amy, now, where some liberals are going to another extreme, which is we should all condemn the killing of Charlie Kirk, but we don't need to participate in the whitewashing of his record or the kind of this suggestion that he is some kind of free speech martyr. He was not a supporter of free speech. You just saw that clip. I said something on MSNBC he did not like. I, an American citizen, he said I should be deported from the United States. Is that someone who sounds like they support free speech? He was super anti-Muslim. Just a couple of days ago, he was posting about Islam being the sword with which the left slits the throat of America. He called Muslims conquerors, invaders. His rhetoric was horrific. He put targets on people's backs. But again, I don't measure my own views or my own responses to tragedies by the standards set by Charlie Kirk or Donald Trump or anyone else. The fact that he may have, you know, had a more gleeful response to my death than I do to his is irrelevant. As I say, none of us should celebrate the death of a human being. None of us should celebrate political violence because it's a threat to all of us and to this country. And I think it's interesting that so many people are now trying to suggest that this guy, I've seen people saying, oh, he never did anything. He just went and had good faith debates with college students. Just not true. He supported the, you know, he supported the deportation of Mahmoud Khalil, a green card legal resident who was punished for his speech, nothing else, by the Trump administration. So, look, even us having this conversation, Amy, will be clipped somewhere by a Republican and say, look, look, they're celebrating his death. They're criticizing him. No, criticizing someone's views is not celebrating the death. We can do two things at once. We can walk and chew gum. We can say it's absolutely outrageous that Charlie Kirk was murdered for his views, and we have absolute empathy for his wife and kids and friends and family. But we can also say those views were horrific. We're not going to suddenly say because he was murdered, his views are somehow good. No, bad people can be unjustly murdered. Bad people can be innocent when it comes to being killed, because even bad people shouldn't be killed for their views.
I wanted to switch gears a bit, although, I mean, there are, of course, connections. You have the latest news where the Israeli prime minister also talked about Charlie Kirk as, I think he called him a lion-hearted friend of Israel who fought the lies and stood tall for Judeo-Christian civilization, he said. In the occupied West Bank, Israeli forces rounded up over 1,500 Palestinians in Tulkarm Thursday, ordering a curfew for the city's residents. The crackdown came as Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu approved a plan to dramatically expand illegal West Bank settlements, greenlighting the construction of 3,400 new homes on land Palestinians want for a future state. Netanyahu spoke at a signing ceremony Thursday.
We said there would not be a Palestinian state, and we say again, there won't be a Palestinian state. This place is ours. We will take care of our country and our security and our heritage.
So you have Netanyahu at the signing ceremony saying that he would, there is no place for a Palestinian state. Your response, Mehdi Hassan?
One of the only good things, Amy, about this Israeli government, which is the most far-right, racist, genocidal government in Israel's history, which is saying a lot. One of the only good things about this Israeli government is that they just, you know, they say the quiet part out loud. They do say what they're thinking. They do say what they mean and mean what they say. So when they say there will be no Palestinian state, that's the truth. They don't plan to have a Palestinian state.